You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
We are on a series called Want More. This sermon series is basically getting us into the book of 1 Timothy, specifically in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where we're looking at some of the instructions of a young pastor by the name of Timothy, and he was given a charge by his discipler in the name of the Apostle Paul. We did tell you last Sunday that a lot of times we think that money is the root of all kinds of evil, but we qualify that by saying that it's actually the desire. And its original Greek is the word epithumeo, which is an unbridled desire for riches and wealth that basically causes people to wander away from the faith. They don't just wander away from the faith, but many pangs are pierced on them because of this affection. Instead of them pursuing the Lord, instead of them having their affection for God, people started having their affection towards money. And it's quite interesting to think that if you start reading the accounts of the Gospels and the rest of the epistles or the rest of the New Testament, you come to understand that your Bible is a lot of references to money more than any other thing. So that's interesting in a sense that we would really see that, alam niyo po, problema talaga natin ang pera. Meaning to say, when it's a money issue, it is always a heart issue. Now, last Sunday, we've looked into 1 Timothy chapter 6, down to verse 10, three verses that we've covered, if I'm not mistaken. Today is interesting that we will just look at one verse. It says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we will look at verse 17. It says here, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." Now, this is just for the purpose of our perhaps discussion and sermon and preaching this morning, that we're looking at one verse. But when you start reading this and studying this, this is a verse that you cannot divorce from verses 18 to 19. But we will have to hold it here in verse 17 for a while, because verses 18 and 19 are the verses that we will be looking into next week. You cannot divorce verse 17, 18, and 19. You read it all together. Now, before we go to verse 17, we understand that what goes before verse 17, of course, is verse 16 and 15. So this is a fascinating thing that we've looked into. In verses 15 to 16, it says here, "Which God will display at the proper time, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." If you look at verse 16, it says here, "Who alone has immortality, who dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Now look at this. If you look at the letter of Paul, this pastoral letter of Paul to Timothy, you'd come to understand that this is filled with instructions. This is a letter that tries to correct the wrong teachings of false teachers that were in the church. It starts talking about some wisdom for the young pastor. Medyo strong yung approach ni Paul, because to a certain extent, si Timothy, if you remember, was a timid person. So now he's pastoring a church in perhaps the third largest city in the Roman Empire, which was the church in Ephesus. Now, as he was pastoring this, there were a lot of issues that were rising up, and Paul started writing about warning the people. He started talking about wisdom, and he starts talking about false teachers. He starts talking about the dangers of wealth. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you look at verse 15 and 16, Paul starts alluding or telling Timothy that at the end of the day, the solution to this, or the one who gets the supremacy, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now take note of this one. It says here, "To Jesus be honor and eternal dominion," and it says, "Amen." So if you say amen, that gives us a picture that that's basically the end of it, right? Now, here's what's interesting. Paul says in his letter, starts writing amen, starts telling Timothy about who Jesus is, starts describing who Jesus is. After all of these issues that we've talked about, this is who Jesus is. Then he starts saying amen. Here's the fascinating thing. Instead of just sealing that letter and sending it to Timothy, what happened is that, have you ever done this in some of your letters before? Start writing PS, a postscript. So this is what we have here. Kasi, nag-amen na siya, pero tinuloy niya pa. There's like verse 17, verse 18, verse 19, verse 20. It's like, oh, wait, I forgot something. Let me just say some other important things. Catch it? So this is how important the next four verses are. Verse 17, 18, 19, 20, five verses, and verse 21. Gives us a picture that this is part of the letter that Paul was writing to Timothy. And the first one of that is what we have here, which is verse 17. So this was like a PS. Now, here's another thing that we have to look into. We said last week, when Paul started talking about the desire for money. If you remember, we did say that he was not talking to the wealthy ones in the church. Catch it? He was talking to guys like you and me, not the wealthy ones in the church. Now, in verse 17 specifically, okay, in verse 17 specifically, he now starts writing to the rich people, to the wealthy ones in the church in Ephesus. All right? This is now the portion of the letter that constitutes the charge or the instruction for the wealthy and affluent people in the church in Ephesus. Now, let me just try to qualify this for a while, because some of you might think, oh, okay, so this is just for Brail, not for me, because I'm not a rich person. This is just for June, only for the wealthy ones in the church. This is not for me. Look at this. Now, before you think about that, I'd like for you to understand that there is a disparity between the level of wealth, okay, with the rich ones of yesterday and the rich ones of today. In fact, many of us, the least of us, at least materially speaking, perhaps could be categorized with the wealthy ones of the past. So let's just put it this way. Who am I here have a bed in your home? Sino sa inyo kumakain kayo ng at least isang beses sa isang araw? Sino pa sa inyo may cellphone? Now, I want you to understand this. I'd like for us to know that if you are here today and you are above the threshold of poverty, this letter is for you. Okay? So don't think that this is just for your seatmate. This letter is for every single one of us. If there's a level of comfort that you have in your life right now, you drive a motorcycle, you drive a car, you can pay for your own tricycle and stuff like that, then this letter is for you. Okay? So don't think that this is just for the rich people. That's very important. Let's look at this. Here's what it says. It says here, in the first part of verse 17, here's what it says. As for the rich in this present age. Let's look at the word rich, because this is just one verse. So let's try to look at some of the words we have here. The word rich there is the Greek word pleseos, which means abounding, in abundance. In Tagalog, it's sagana. Kwartahan, dato, abundance. Kahit na sabihin natin, wag natin isipin pera. Sa gamit, sa bagay. Alright, so there's abundance. That's basically what it means here. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says, in verse, the first part of verse 7, it says here, as for the rich in this present age, look at this one. It says here, kindly tell them. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. It says here, as for the rich in this present age, instruct them. Nope, that's not what it says. Paul here, this is how you should read letter. You have to catch the emotions of the writer. I was catching the emotion of Paul here, nang init yung tenga ko. Because I feel like, while Paul was writing, alam mo yung pag nagsusulat siya, parang nabubutas yung papel. Kasi nang gigigil si Paul. So it gives us a picture that Paul here was not being courteous to a certain extent. He was not pleading the wealthy people in the church. He was not just giving them instruction. This is not like an instruction telling Timothy about, okay, Timothy, this is how liturgy in the church should look like. The first order should be this one. The next order should be this. It wasn't like that. But the word that Paul used here is the word charge. As for the rich in this present age, he says, charge them. So I'd like for us to feel the emotion, to realize the sense of urgency of Paul, to realize or to acknowledge perhaps the level of perhaps frustration of Paul as an apostle writing to Timothy who was pastoring the church. So he was like saying, okay, look at all the wealthy people in the church in Ephesus, he tells Timothy, and charge them. Catch it? Now let's look at the word charge here. It's the original Greek word paragelia, which means charge, command. Medyo strong si Paul. This is one of those letters where you'd see Paul na perhaps namumula siya dito. In fact, the word paragelia here is a military command. It is a military word. So it's charge, command. Now, this is a pastoral letter for Timothy, but we see here that Paul is using a stronger tone, encouraging Timothy to command the wealthy people in the church. Now, let's start looking into this farewell. It gives us a picture that for Paul, who holds an apostolic office, take note of this one, writes amen, and then proceeds. Catch it? For Paul, who holds an apostolic office, instructing Timothy to command people, it gives us a picture that when it comes to the issues of wealth and finance, this is something that we should not be skirting around. It gives us a picture that this is something that we have to face as Christians. Money and stewardship, as we know, is an index of whether the gospel has control of someone's heart. And this is what Paul was telling us here, that he was like telling Timothy at the end of the day, this is a lordship issue. If you remember, Jesus said it's more difficult for the rich ones to what? To enter. He didn't say impossible, but hard. Why? Because money can be such an idol. Money can be such a god. How many relationships have been destroyed because of money? This is basically what Paul is giving us here. So here's the question for every single one of us. What is the charge for the rich? What is the charge for every single one of us here today? What are the charges for the rich? First, we have it here. As for the rich in this present age, the first charge is not to be haughty. In the NIV, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. The word haughty means, if you do a word study, simply means high-minded or conceited. Ang taas ng tingin sa sarili. This is a very simple sermon for all of us. Look at this one. He was like saying, if you're rich, don't be conceited. If you're rich, I charge you. I command you, don't be arrogant. Don't be high-minded. That's basically what Paul is teaching us here. Here's the problem. There is a problem with money in a sense that it usually, take note of the word usually, it's not always the case. But more wealth, if you talk about more wealth, it brings with it its twin. You know what's the twin of wealth? Pride. It usually happens that way. That's why there is a strong command coming from Paul telling Timothy to charge them, to command them not to be arrogant. The more money you have, the more likely you will have to battle pride and the exaltation of yourself. We'll look into some practical aspects later. When you say high-minded, it simply means you have exalted your own mind above your own self. Pag mataas ang tingin sa sarili, it's like in our culture in the Philippines, it's something like this. Nagkakotse ka lang, yumabang na. You folks know what it is? I am Daniela Mondragon. I don't adjust to people. People adjust to me. Yung heels ng sapatos ko, mas mataas pa kaysa sa mga pangarap mo. Nakapag-abroad lang, kala mo kung sino na. Napromote lang, umangat lang yung buhay. Kinalimutan na yung magulang. Baka hindi kinalimutan. Baka ikinahiya ang magulang. Minsan tayo, I don't know. Perhaps this might be a good reminder. Siguro ngayon, meron tayong kwintas na ginto. But remember, there was a time na yung kwintas mo libag. Don't you think sometimes it's good to remember those days? Sometimes you feel like this just applies to the wealthy ones, the affluent ones. No, because you know, sometimes in Filipino culture, minsan, kahit hindi ka mayaman, pero ang trato mo sa mayaman, iba kesa sa trato mo sa ibang tao. Pag foreigner, masayahin ka, nakasmile ka. Pag Pinoy, dead ma. Approach me later after the service. If you've ever heard me talk to any of you by telling you, this person is attending church. Do you know what? This person owes such and such. We don't categorize people that way. In fact, if you're a member of this church, you know for a fact that we care for you not because of your riches, we care for you as a disciple. So we don't look at people with labels, owner of this one, president of this one. Yet in a sense, this is highly telling, even in the aspect of how we do discipleship. When we start categorizing people based on their societal standing in life, I think it's terribly wrong. That's a culture that we have in this nation that sadly has crept in the church. No, no, no. Bible is very clear. Well, this is not just for the really wealthy ones, but this is for every single one of us. It translates in how we do our life. Sometimes we become a fool by thinking that prosperity is always a blessing from God. I don't think so. It's not always the case. You know, Asaph, in Psalm, he was like saying that we should not look at prosperity as if it's a mark of righteousness. And that's very clear in the Bible. Is this a right equation? The more money you have, the less you do. Why? Check this out. The more money you have, yes, you could be an executive and you're busy. But when I say the more money you have, the less you do, in a sense that, oh, you have hired workers. The more money you have, then you don't entirely wash your own clothes because you have people who could wash your clothes. You don't cook for your meal every single day because you have helpers at home who would be able to cook your meal. That's totally fine. That's totally fine. Don't get me wrong. What I'm trying to say here is that sometimes, if left unchecked, you would think that the world exists to serve you. And when the world stops serving you the way you want them to, you start throwing tantrums. For all of us who have helpers at home, my encouragement is we look after their welfare. That we have to make sure that these people are not modern-day servants, or rather modern-day slaves. That there is a sense of dignity into what we're doing, and that is communicated by us. The charge of Timothy is very important. Take note, the word is charge. Hindi po sinabi ni Timothy na pakiusapan mo. Sabi ni Paul kay Timothy, i-command mo. I take that principle in that letter and apply that to us here today, and I feel like Paul is telling me that, Archie, do not be haughty, do not be arrogant. It's fascinating because the manner at which you would counter that is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. This is Paul as well saying, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. To battle being high-minded, you have to be lowly-minded. You have to think less of yourself. Not think of yourself less, because that will violate your identity in Christ. Perhaps an important practical aspect of that is to always remember to remove yourself from the equation, at least in the aspect of generosity. Romans chapter 12, verse 16, it says here, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, that it says here, but associate with the lowly, never be wise in your own side. It's true. In the Philippines, the category of people that falls among the middle class is quite big. But the challenge, I think, here for us is whether you are in the upper bracket or the middle bracket in terms of your economic status. The question is this one. How do you treat people who are in the lowest bracket? Do we take care of them or do we take advantage of them? There are obvious advantages to wealth and money. You get to accomplish a lot of things. But there is also a liability that we find here, and that liability is pridefulness. In fact, look at this one. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 to 9, it says here, this is a psalm by Agur, and here's what he says. He was trying to talk about his own life. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is need for me. He says, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? What he was essentially saying is that he acknowledges that wealth has the potential not just to destroy his horizontal relationship, but it has the potential to destroy his vertical relationship with God. That because of pride, he would feel like, I have accomplished all of these things for myself. This is because of my own strength, my own scheme, my own style, my own intellect. It's because I'm street smart. It's because I belong to this kind of family. Then you start acting independent of God. It says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, in the first part, it says here, as for the rich in this present age, It gives us a picture that at the end of the day, Paul was explicitly telling every single one of us that your riches is only good for this present age. It's not eternal. So he was like giving us a warning that you could be rich in this present age, but your soul might be in poverty in the age to come if you start exalting riches as your God. The second aspect of the charge here is that he tells every single one of us not just not to be haughty, but he also tells us not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. It was like saying, okay, tell the rich people, don't be arrogant. Not just that. Tell every single one of them not to set their hope, not to trust on the uncertainty of riches. What does that mean? Paul knows that there's going to be a temptation to find security in temporal things. Here's what Paul says. Don't set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Here's the question for every single one of us, perhaps. Why not put your hope in riches? Why are we not supposed to put our hope in riches? In your account? Why? The answer is there. It's because it's uncertain. Everything can be gone tomorrow. We can't bring them with us. We've talked about this last week. Paul was saying, as for the rich in this present age, he makes a contrast. If you remember, this is in verse 17. Paul was saying clearly that our riches are in this present age only. But he was very clear, if this is in verse 17, you remember in verse 15 and 16, it says here, talks about Jesus who has immortality, who has the honor and the eternal dominion. He makes a contrast between our riches, who is only good for this present age, and God who is sovereign. So what Paul was submitting to the wealthy people in the church was very simple. Do not put your hope in the uncertainty of riches. Put your hope in the God who is sovereign. He was like saying at the end of the day, the reason why we feel secured is sometimes the reason is because we have a lot of money. But what he was submitting to the wealthy people in the church was very simple. You can be secured because the God that you worship is a sovereign God. Amen? That he is a sovereign God. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. In fact, there's another proverb. It says that money fly away. Wealth will fly away. Have you ever thought about that? We live in a culture, not just in this generation, in the generations past and the generations future perhaps. We live in a culture where we worship paper. We worship gold. We worship the stock market. None of these things I'm saying is inherently evil. But the worship of it, the affection towards it. The Bible is very clear in telling us that it is the root of all kinds of evil. You know, sometimes when you have a lot, you trust in a lot. When you have little, you trust in God. Matindi tayo mag-pray pag may pangangailangan tayo. But when things are doing well, have you ever thought about that? I'm not sure if you've ever experienced this, but I've experienced this before. Pag bagong sweldo ka, minsan hindi ka masyadong prayerful. Pero pag paubos sa sweldo mo, madalas ka na magdasal. A theologian, Albert Schweitzer, said, if you have something you can't live without, you don't own it. He says, it owns you. And sometimes wealth has taken a hold in our lives. Titus chapter 2, verse 12, talking about the same thing in this present age. In Titus chapter 2, verse 12, it tells us that we have to do something with what we have in this present age. And here's what we have. Training us to what? To renounce. So, sa present age na to, instead of trusting your wealth in this present age, he says, this is what you have to do in this present age. Renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Because if not, this is what might happen to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted. He did not just deserted Paul, but he deserted the faith. And who knows what pangs Demas experienced because he was so in love with this present world. In the last portion of this verse, it says here, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be arrogant, charge them not to be high-minded, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches." It says here, but on God. That's what it says here. This is a simple text. Put your hope on God. Do you realize this? That Paul could have just said, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, period. That would be fine, right? Tell them, Timothy, don't trust riches, don't trust wealth, but just trust God. That's it. No, not just that. Paul starts telling Timothy, you put your trust on God who richly provides. Amen? The God that we worship, He richly provides us with everything too. That is God the Father wanting you to experience pleasure according to His will. That He give gifts to every single one of us. That He blesses us. The Bible says, for our own enjoyment. So don't think this is an anti-money, anti-wealth teaching. No, this is not. Because the last portion of this verse tells us that, you know, it is God's will that He would want to see you blessed, that you're enjoying the comforts of your home. For your enjoyment. Kung will ni Lord yun, ha? It's not like God is telling you, you shouldn't have a car. No, that's not what it says. It simply tells us that do not have an unbridled desire for these things. And when you indeed start having promotions, when you become like quote-unquote someone in the future, remember not to be arrogant. Because there are practical ways at which we could rectify these things in our life. Here's the question. If you're here and you're confident, why? This makes us think. Why are you a confident person? Are you confident because of your brand new makeup? Your brand new highlights? Older people here, I've learned something. White hair is called wisdom highlights. Are you confident because of your Louis Vuitton bag? Are you confident because of the money in your pocket? Are you confident because of your SUV? Your brand new phone? I'm just asking these questions. Why are you confident? Here's the next question. If you are restful, why? If you're a person who looks so at peace, you have a smile on your face, question here is why? Are you quote-unquote restful and at peace because there's gonna be money for food tomorrow? Or you're confident that, I have a lot of money, there's nothing to worry tomorrow? Here's the next question. If you are not confident, why? Are you basing your confidence on the things that you don't have? Or you're confident because you walk under the authority of the Lord? Are you becoming insecure because you don't have this and other people have so much things? Or ang pinanghawakan mo, magpipreach ako kung kahit kanino, even the kings and queens of the land, because what I have is a message that they need to hear. Mag-uwantuan ako ng mayaman na tao. Kailangan meron akong ganito. Kailangan, hindi. Ang kailangan mag-preach, ikaw yung mayaman, friend. Next question perhaps is this one. If you are restless, why? You see these things? If you're restless, you're anxious, why? Is it epithumeo? Kind of desire? Is it because my enemy in high school is becoming this personal? He's having this, she's having all of these things. and have nothing to show on Facebook. Have you ever been with people na, alam mo, kakain ka na? You have all your orders, and then you're about to eat, and then, hey, teka lang, picture muna. Susubo ka na. Hashtag, living the life. Hashtag, blessed. O baka hashtag, pakitang tao. I'm not saying these things are bad, of course. Last application is this one. If you'd allow me to be a bit more forward, if you're here today and you belong into the threshold above poverty line, here's my encouragement for you. Huwag maging mata pobre. Your language, when you are with the poor, or perhaps your body language, would either win people to the Lord or add more salt in their wound. Jesus was a friend to the poor. It is very clear in scriptures. There's nothing inherently wrong with wealth. We're very clear with that. As long as we are sure that we don't love it. I'm not even saying we love it more than we love God. No, that we don't love it. When we start having them, I hope and pray that our countenance will not change. The way we treat people, hired workers, uneducated people, the way we would treat them matters to the Lord. 2 weeks ago, I brought home budbud in a plastic from Changi. Maria knows this. I went home and I told my wife, here's the budbud. I'm living the life. I told her, I have you. I have 2 doggies. I have the budbud. I'm living the life. Thank you, Lord. I'm not faking it. So you don't say, I'm living the life if it's a brand new Coach bag, brand new bag of stuff. Like, those things are good. But those things are not the source of my joy. Budbud can be. Perspective matters. Worldview matters. And our worldview friends come from God's Word.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.